Now, I appreciate that, and I love you too. I love your family and Ron and just the people in your home. I appreciate that, and appreciate you guys being here this morning. I preached on love last week. Anybody here from last week? We started a new series called Relationships, Safetionships, and I talked about love, and I was going, well, I haven't told you guys. I really love this church, and I love the people, and I love what God is doing here, and you guys are special. And I'm glad somebody else recognizes beside me that you are a special bunch of people and that God is up to something. And last week I started this series called Safe People, that we need safe people in our life. And last week I spoke about how we're supposed to love everyone, right? Everyone means? All right, you guys are with me. Everyone means everyone, whether we like them, whether they're bad, whether they're good, we love everyone. That's what God called us to do. And last week we talked about that. Now, I don't know about you, it's hard loving everyone. There are some people that are hard to love. I'm a preacher and I'm saying that, okay? You know, there are some people that make it hard. And so we talked about, how do we do that? You know, if I'm going to have relationships, how do I love everyone? And we kind of spent some time because it's really built on not my love, it's built on God's love. Remember, it starts out, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and love one another. And so we build our love on others, not because of who they are, not because of what they do, but because of who God is. We love others, we're supposed to love everyone. And we challenged ourselves. You know, we lay a foundation of love, we're righteous. We act the right way. We give change a chance. You know, we're real. We know that we're going to have to forgive people. But the reality is, I'm probably going to need some forgiveness. Anybody on that one? It's a lot of work. We talked about that relationship with everyone, but I want to kind of start narrowing it down now as we're going to go through this series. It's a 6-part series, and I want to talk about how do we find safe people in our life, not just everyone. That we need people. We need a person. We need several people. Maybe anybody here call them friends? Anybody got friends? Anybody here got friends? Man, not people without friends. I'll be your friend. Raise your hand. I'll be everybody's friend, okay? You know, we need those relationships. We want to love everybody, but it's not good enough just to, well, I love everybody. We need those personal relationships. And if you ever had any of those personal relationships where you've been burned, anybody been burned in a relationship? Anybody been hurt? Stabbed in the back, gossip. Anybody have relationships like, how do we find safe ones? Anybody want to know that? Yeah. You know, how do I know? How can I build those kind of relationships with others that have meaning and that have purpose? And you know, that one with God is easy. You know, God did all the work. All I got to do is come back to God and, you know, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Yes, I'm messed up. Yes, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and take control, and I get my relationship back with God. But getting back with others is another matter. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, finding those relationships and building those relationships. And how do we do that? How does that happen? And so we're going to talk about this for the next 5 weeks. Now, this was one. We're going to wrap them all up. We're going to do 4 more weeks of this. But how do I build those kind of relationships in my life? Someone that I can walk through life with. Someone that I can call a friend. Someone who can be with me and journey with me. And how do we do that? And I put a verse here that you might recognize, Proverbs 13:20. Anybody have YouVerse on their phone? Anybody use YouVerse on the Bible phone? Come on, some of you guys, I taught you guys how to. Remember, yesterday's Bible verse was this verse. I thought that was real interesting that I wrote the sermon 3-4 days ago, and here they put my verse up yesterday on YouVerse. Because here's what it says. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of a fool will suffer harm. I've been a companion of a fool. Anybody? You know, I've been hurt by relationships. And but I want to be wise. Anybody here want to be wise? Well, I got 3 that want to be wise. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of you. All right? I'll feel sorry for you, okay? You know? But we all want to be wise. So how do you get wise? You walk with the wise. You spend time with the wise. You connect with the wise. You associate with the wise. And so I want to talk about that this morning. So what does it mean? How can I know I'm going to have a good relationship? What is a safe relationship? How do I know I'm going to have a good relationship with somebody? How do I know whether this is going to be a positive relationship in my life? How do I know if I want to invest my life in this relationship? So I feel the first thing I better do is define what a safe relationship is. What does it mean to have a safe relationship? What does it mean to have a good relationship? Not just loving everyone, but having some people in our life that are important to us, people that matter to us and that we matter to them. And so I gave a little definition here, and it's just for three phrases I have here. You want to know if a relationship is good or bad? Do this. Does it draw me closer to God? You want to know if a relationship is going to be good for you or it's going to be bad for you? Will that relationship that you're developing, that relationship that you have, will it draw you closer to God or will it not? If it doesn't draw you closer to God, that's going to be one of those that a companion of fools will suffer harm. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So if you're looking at your relationship, one of the safety relationships, one of those foundation things you need to know is, will this relationship draw me closer to God? The second one I put down here, here's a verse. Let me read the verse. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Matthew 22. Love God. Will that relationship make me love God more? The second part of that relationship is this. Will it draw me closer to others? Will it help me love others? Will it give me compassion for others? Will it give me understanding for others? All right? Now, there's going to be some relationship, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been in a relationship, they want to dominate you. Anybody been in a relationship? Don't raise your hand. But they want to dominate you. They want to tell you what you can do. They want to tell you who you can run with, who you can talk to. They want to control you. They're the ones. I got to be the focus of your life. You can't have anybody else in your life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's some relationships like that. Well, you look at your relationship. Is this going to be a good or a bad relationship? Is it going to draw me closer to others and not just one person? You know, or let me become a more loving person? Are they going to help me become a more compassionate person to others? Are they going to help me see others as God sees others? Is this really going to be positive in my life? So here's the quality. You want a positive relationship. Is it going to draw me closer to God? Going to draw me closer to others? And here's the scripture. And the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. Am I going to love others? And the last one I put here, will it help us become real persons God created us to be? It helps us become real persons God created us. Is it going to help me be who God made me to be? Or are they going to make me be like they want me to be? Anybody get married? How many of you ladies married a guy and you wanted to change him? Don't raise your hand. You know what I mean? You know, I'm going to marry them and I'm going to change them. They're going to be just what I want. You know, I can fix this guy. Anybody marry a guy and you're going to fix him? You know, you got fixed, didn't you? Yeah. But here, you want a relationship, you're going to get to be you. The God made you to be. The God who formed you to be. And this is what a safe relationship is. You know, and here it is found in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, his being God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That every one of us was created to do something good. Did you know that? You were created to do something good. And that's what we need, a relationship that's going to help bring that out in our life. A relationship in our life, a positive relationship, a good relationship, a relationship that's going to be a safe relationship will draw me closer to God, draw me closer to others, and help me be and perform the purpose God planted in my heart. Does that make sense? How many want a relationship like that? Anybody want a relationship like that? You know, that's going to make you closer to God, that's going to make you love others, that's going to help you be who God formed you, created you, shaped you to be and to do. That's what a safe relationship's all about. Now, that's a challenge. Those relationships are hard to find. That's why those relationships are so few in our life. Now, we are to love everyone. But then there's a select few in our life that we connect with, that we associate with, that we found friendship with, that we're going to collect with, and that's going to help make us wise. Does that make sense? You know, does God kind of have a plan here in our lives? You know, we need to love it, then you need to focus down. And Jesus did this. All right, I want to make sure you get a picture. This is how Jesus, you know, I was thinking, how can I paint a picture for you? And I thought, well, the best picture to paint is Jesus. Anybody agree with that one? You know, the best image in life, the example in life, the best one we could follow in life is Jesus. You know, and we can look to Jesus as an example of developing relationships. How did he do it? What did he do? And how did he make this work out? And so that's kind of what I wanted to look at this morning. Is my relationship going to draw me closer to God, closer to others, and it's going to help me be who God made me to be? And Jesus is the best example. And so it starts out, you know, as you read the Gospels, you read those biographies of Jesus, you know, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first four books of the New Testament. They're called the biographies of Jesus, the Gospels. And it recounts Jesus' life. And if you read those Gospels, you can kind of get a picture of the of Jesus and his work and what he did. And here's what it is in John 1:14 as it paints the picture of Jesus coming. Look at what it says. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, the Word is Jesus Christ, all right? Jesus, God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Why don't you circle the word dwelling? Why don't you circle that word? We're going to talk more about that word. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Why don't you circle both grace and truth? Those are key words I want us to think about, focus on this morning. Dwelling, grace, and truth. If you want to have those relationships that draw you closer to God, closer to others, and help you fulfill that purpose God has given you, you're going to need these three ingredients that Jesus embodied, these three elements that Jesus lived out in his life. And I want us to think about those in our lives this morning, in our relationships. And so I ask you, how's your relationships going? Anybody right now in a relationship that you just wish just broke your heart and you're just struggling through right now? How's those relationships going? So if you turn the page, I wrote it this way. Dwelling, take up residency. That's what that dwelling means. What it's saying is Jesus came to earth and he took up residency. He began living here on earth. He began associating with others here on earth. If you're going to build a relationship, you're going to have somebody who takes up residency with you. You connect to. You live with. Now, talking a lot about friends. Anybody ever have a fair weather friend? Anybody ever have fair weather friends? You know, they're there, they're going good, and then when things go bad, they leave. You know, I can still remember, I've been in Salida a long time, and some individuals in town would get their checks from the government. You know, they're living, and you know, because of situations, they had their check come from the government, and they had a lot of friends come over at the beginning of the month. And then as the month went along, that check went away. And guess where their friends went? Away. Anybody have a friend like that? Well, have a friend that's safe. They're going to have to be one who's going to take up residency with you. They're going to connect to you. They're going to be there with you through the thick and the thin. You ever hear statements like that? They're going to be with you through the good and the bad. You know, you want to have friends like, you want to have relationships like that, you know, and that they're going to possess with you, and they're going to connect with you. Now, I'm not just talking about being there physically. I want to make sure, you know, yeah, I'm talking about being there physically. You know, they're people you can count on, people you can depend on. But also, they're going to be there emotionally. Now, I'm going to give the ladies a break here, okay, because I'm going to talk about men. Maybe it's not all men. Maybe it's just me. Have you ever sat there with your spouse, men, and you're there, but you're not there? Ladies, don't point them out, ladies. Don't poke them. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you're sitting there, you're talking, and his mind is just somewhere else. He's gone. You know? He's just off on some other thing. And you get done talking, you go, what do you think? And he's going, about what? Yeah. You know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just talking about guys because I know what I do, all right? Yeah. But when I'm talking about, when you talk about residency, you're there, you're connected, you're emotionally there. You're not just, well, I'm just sitting here. What more do you want from me? No, you're connected emotionally, physically. You're there, they're present. Isn't that a good friendship? Isn't that what relationship's all about? It's about being there, not just physically, but being there. In yourself and who you are, you make a connection. That's what residency means here. When Jesus came to earth, did he connect? Did he just not come physically, but he came emotionally? He came with himself, wholeheartedly, everything about him. See, and that's what a friendship and that's what a relationship does. That's what a safe relationship is. There's a residency, there's dwelling. All right? The second thing it said Jesus did, it says he was full of grace and truth. And I want a minute, grace. And the definition is unmerited favor. What it's saying is God's on your side. Yeah. What you want are friends who are on your side. And anybody want a friend on their side? You know, You got to, you know, who do you know your best friend is? The one that take your side, right? You know, you got to fight, and who's on my side? You know, we're going to, and you want somebody who's for you. You know, they're going to, you know, no matter, you know, they know the good, the bad, the ugly, not the movie, but you. You know, and they know all about you, and they still love you, and they still accept you. Yeah, we all have faults, and yeah, we all have struggles, and yeah, we all have burdens, and we all have hurts, and we're all messed up. And if you're here and you don't think you're messed up, I got news for you. You're messed up, okay? You can go home going, man, he made me bad. You know, we're all. See, a friend is somebody who, in spite of that, they're your friend. That's grace. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. They're just there for you. You know, they're going to be your biggest supporter. You know, oh, you can do that, you know, and you can make that happen, and don't give up, and they're going to be your cheerleader. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, isn't that what a friend is? Isn't that what a safe friend is? And so that's what Jesus, when he came, is that what Jesus did? I come to set you free. I've come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. You know, he came with grace. He came with mercy. He came to give us those, that relationship that he wants us to have. He's dwelling in our midst, and he's showing our favor, and he's showing his grace upon us. But then I want to make sure you know, when you show grace, it's not just a blind grace. There has to be some honesty there. That's truth. Anybody a friend tell you something you didn't want to hear? That's really a true friend, isn't it? A true friend is one who will tell you, not condemning, not out of anger, not being mean, you know, but you know what? You better think about that, you know, or you're being a jerk, you know, or do you really understand what you're saying, you know, and our friends need to be truthful to us. You know, they're not going to be 100 behind you all the time. You know, if you're wrong, you're wrong. You know, yeah, we need friends like that. You know, friends who will confront us and tell us, you don't have to put a mask on. You don't have to pretend. You can be you. And then when you're doing something, they're there. They're always there. See, I want to paint this picture. This is what it means to be friends. How many friends do you have that are dwelling with you, that are showing you grace, and that are being honest with you? Anybody? Think about that. Isn't that the kind of friends you really want? The people you want to run around with? The wise will grow wise when... Does this make sense? Does God's word just kind of seem to make a lot of sense? And these are the relationships that God has. And what's so interesting is if you read the scriptures and you read the stories and you come to those biographies of Jesus and he starts fleshing this out. I really like reading the Gospels, those biographies of Jesus. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you get a picture of Jesus walking this earth. And, you know, it's a 3.5-year picture of what was going on in his life. And it's real interesting as you read this and you see this. Then you see his relationships. Because that's what I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about he had 12 friends. Anybody know his 12 friends? We call them the disciples, all right? He had these 12 friends we call disciples. He hung around with them, and he called them out to be his friends. You know, ask for friends. You need to, you know that? You know, you need to, you know, can you be my friend? Will you be my supporter? I'll be there for you. Will you be there for me? It's okay to ask for friends and to initiate those conversations. That's what Jesus did. And that's how Jesus lived. Now, see, Jesus loved the whole crowds. You start reading the biographies, those Gospels of Jesus, he loved the crowds. He healed the blind, caused the lame to walk, raised the dead man named Lazarus. He fed the thousands. He cared for the crowd. He loved everyone. Everybody on board with that one? He loved everyone. Look at what it says. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had a heart for everyone, for all of them, for you, for I, for everyone in the world. He had a heart for it. And he walked and he cared and he moved and he pursued all people in love. But in that moving for all, he still chose 12. He picked 12. I picked an example here when he calls Peter and his brother Andrew to kind of give you a picture. This is just an example of two of the 12 he called. It says this in Matthew chapter 4. And while he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He's saying, come and be my friend and join me. Come and dwell with me. Come and find my grace and my mercy. Come and find my honesty and truth. Come with me. And he called these 12 to be with him. All right, this is just the first two. And you can go on down, and it's real interesting to read these stories. We get these guys, and we call them saints. But the thing is, they didn't always act saintly. Anybody have to act saintly? Yeah. These guys, you know, here Jesus picks these specific guys to be with him. Out of the all-loving everyone, he picks 12 guys that I'm going to invest my life in, that they're going to be my friends, they're going to be my disciples. We're going to walk through this earth for the next 3.5 years together. Here's these 12 guys I'm going to connect with. I'm going to dwell with. I'm going to show grace with. I'm going to share truth with. These are the 12. Everybody, but here's the 12. I want to make sure you get the picture here. Now, these guys were not perfect guys. You know, as you read the scriptures, it's really astonishing to see, you know, why would he call Peter? And then Peter says some really great words. You know, yeah, you are, you know, God, Jesus says, who do people say I am? And they have all these answers. You know, you have, you know, some say you're Elijah, John the Baptist, you know, all sorts of stuff. And then Jesus says, well, who do you say? And Peter steps up, you're Jesus, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, man, you got it right on. You nailed it. And then turns around and starts saying some other things. And Peter goes, no, it can't happen like that. And what did Jesus tell Peter? Get behind me, Satan. How, you may recall your best friend Satan. You know? Yeah, it's just like, you know, here's this guy we call a saint, and he's being called Satan. Yeah, I think about that. What's interesting, you read these guys and these apostles, they envied one another. I want to sit on the right. I want to sit on the left. They go to a house supposed to wash somebody's feet. I ain't washing your feet. Yeah. These guys were jealous. You know, they wanted the best seats in the house. You know, these guys were not. And what did Jesus do? I want you to think about this. I always had this, what kind of conversation do these guys have around the table? Think about this. All right, you got fishermen, Peter, James, John, you know, Andrew. These guys were hardworking, everyday men. I could just imagine shaking their hand of throwing their nets out. Just rough, everyday, hardworking guys out there, you know, making a living. Jesus says, come follow me. Finds a guy named James and says, hey, why don't you follow me? And now James is a zealot. You know what a zealot is? They hated the Romans. They wanted a military revolt against the Romans, okay? They, you know, the best Roman is a dead Roman in their mind. You know, and so you have the zealot, you know, who's a part of this group. So you got these fishermen and you got this zealot. And then he finds a guy named Matthew. And Matthew's a tax collector. So he's working for the Romans. I wonder what kind of conversation they must have had with, here's James who wants to kill every Roman. He's got this compromiser named Matthew over here. Can you imagine dinner at the table conversation that night? Yeah. It's like, hey, why are you working for them? What are you, you know, you're a stinking, rah, 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 you know, I could just imagine the stuff going on. And, you know, here's these guys. Compassion? Yeah, do they have compassion? We got 5,000 people that need to eat. Send them home, Jesus. They'll go. He says, you feed them. Yeah, send them home. You know, compassion? You know? Kids. Well, I got too many kids around here. Get the kids away. Get the kids away, you know? Jesus goes, what? No, suffer their kids to come. These were not. I could see Jesus pulling his head out with his friends. You may have friends you want to pull your hair out with. You know? Safe relationships are tough. You know, it's a challenge. You know, I read all this, and it's just kind of, you know, but it comes best. Is it drawing me closer to God? Is it drawing me closer to others? Is it helping me fulfill what God called me to do? Jesus sends them out. He takes these and anoints them and sets them all up, showing some others, like a total of 70. He sends them out on a mission journey. The guys go out and do some great work coming back, just celebrating. Because God did some great. Good and bad. You know, relationships have good and bad days. You can have good and bad days in relationships. But again, it boils down to those people that you're willing to invest in. Jesus was dwelling with them. He was living with them. He was showing grace with them. He was showing mercy with them. But he was still telling them the truth. Get behind me, Satan. You know, you don't have enough faith. He always pointed this out. You know, you don't know what you're asking. You want to sit on the right hand and the left hand? You don't even know what you're asking for. You know, and we see this. But I want to challenge us with our relationships. Because see, it doesn't end there. I think the best picture is a picture of Peter again. You know, the one who just, Peter always called, I think Peter always put his foot in his mouth, all right? He was always willing to step up and step out and say what he thought. And it's just all the time. And one day Jesus, I'd done finished teaching and preaching one day on the side of the hill. And he said, okay, you guys go ahead and start sailing across the Sea of Galilee and I'll catch up with you. All right, you know, and it's like, well, I don't know how he's going to catch up, but we'll go ahead and leave. So they take off on the ship, sailing across the Sea of Galilee, and next thing they know, it's kind of dark, and some figure's walking on water. Now, that would scare me, okay? You know, and don't be scared, you know, it's me, Jesus says. And Peter, well, if it's you, Jesus, let me walk on the water too. Yeah, man, let's do it. You know, steps over the side of the boat, takes a couple of steps, and then it's, the water gets a little soft. He starts going down. And I like what it says. Jesus immediately reached out. He yelled out to Jesus. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith. See, still correcting. Grace, mercy. He reached out in grace and grabbed him, didn't he? He reached out in mercy and grabbed him. But he still has to tell the truth. Oh, you got little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and these in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I seen this picture here of honesty, you know, of the truth. You don't quite have the faith you need. You're not quite there yet, Peter. You still got a ways to go, but I'm still your biggest supporter. I'm reaching out to you. I'm showing grace to you. I'm picking you up. I'm dwelling with you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. Oh, I'm poor Peter. Good luck, Peter. Jesus didn't turn his back on him, did he? Jesus said, whoa, good luck, Peter. Hope you can tread water. You know, he reached out. He's dwelling with you. I see this picture here. Anybody see that dwelling and the truth and the grace in that picture there? Where God is at that relationship with him right there. And we see that in that life. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. I want you to think about your relationship. Those who are closest to you. Those that you associate with. Those that you connect with. I want to ask you, are they drawn to God? Is it a safe relationship? Is it drawing you closer? Is it drawing you closer to others? Are they dominating and controlling? Are they drawing you closer to others? Are they helping you become who God created you to be? I think it's something to think about. We want safe relationships. We want relationships. Yeah, we're going to love everybody. And it's easy to say, I love everybody. But then those relationships with someone that we connect with, you know, someone that we're dwelling with, you know. So I gave those three words there again at the bottom. Dwelling, that D. Put a dwelling there. So I want to ask you, who are you dwelling with? Who are you dwelling with? Who have you taken up residence with? Who's that person in your life? Or maybe people in your life? Who's that grace? Who are you showing grace to? You know, if you want a perfect friend, you're never going to find one. Just so you know, there's no such thing as a perfect friend. All right? And the last one, now how about truth? I tell you, it's no fun when someone confronts you with something you know is right but you did wrong. Anybody like that one? You know, I can tell stories when somebody's coming to me, Gary, you should not have, and it's like, I don't want to hear it. Especially when it's my wife. Yeah. Anybody else but my wife, come on, yeah? But we have that in our lives. So I want to challenge us this morning. How are your relationships? How you doing? Now, just so you know, I didn't tell you earlier, because I'm afraid you wouldn't listen to me. You'd be reading. On the back, of the thing is 20 traits of unsafe people. It's from a book called Safe People, okay? Great read. The 20 traits of unsafe people, I looked at those, and just so you know, I qualify for some of those, okay? You know, I read some of those, and it's like, okay. Now, if my wife read them, I'd probably qualify for at least half of them, okay? You know, and she wouldn't be far off, honestly, all right? Don't read those now, those later, okay? But that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. God called us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. That invisible line you hear me talk about. You know, it's not enough. Well, I'm a Christian. Are you? No, I shook the preacher's hand. I was born in a Christian home. My mom, my dad, my grandfather was a preacher, whatever it is. No, that'll make you a Christian. I try to make it simple every time I come. A Christian is someone who reached a point in their life where they realize, you know what? I'm not who I want to be. I'm not who God made me to be. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. You surrender to God. We have that relationship. But then I want to ask you, who are you running with? Now, if you're running by yourself, you're running into trouble. Okay? You cannot run by yourself. It will not work. God created us for relationships. Plain, simple. You know, I've had people tell me, I'm a preacher, I have people, all I need is God. I tell them, you're a liar. I tell them right to their face. Because we need others. God created us that way. If you don't need anybody, why do you think he put people in jail in solitary confinement as punishment? Duh. You know what I'm saying? We need those relationships. So I'm going to ask you, who are you running with? Are you running with the wise? Are you? Are you running with safe people? Are you building those relationships? I wrote it this way at the bottom of your page. Sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. I look at it this way. I'm going to take it kind of this iron and kind of twist it to sandpaper because this is my picture. We build relationships with others. You know what? They're not, we kind of rub. You maybe rub the wrong way. You know, even by your spouse. You know? And so I kind of think that's kind of sandpaper. We're rubbing the rough edges off of one another until we get smooth around one another. Does that make sense? You know, and that's what I want to challenge us with this morning. So I want to ask you, how's your relationship system? We're gonna spend some more time on this, but I want to just begin by asking you to think about your relationships. But here's the hard one, okay? Let's not make it about them. Let's make it about us. Am I the kind of person I want to be with? Do you want to hang with yourself? You want me to be honest with you? Sometimes I don't want to be around Gary. Anybody know what I'm talking about, or is it just me? You know, am I that weird? You know, sometimes I don't even like myself. I've said some things, done some things, you know? So this morning, this is what I want us to think about. Let's not think about those out there. Let's think about us. Am I one that when somebody is with me, they're drawing closer to God? Whoa. I'm kind of stomping on some toes this morning, aren't I? Am I one that when people run with me, they're drawing closer to God? Am I one that when somebody's with me, they're drawing closer to others? Am I one that when somebody hangs with me, they're going to be who God created them to be? God. That's what I want us to work on this morning. You know, I can't work on them out there. You know, I can't fix them. Just like I said, when you get married, I'm going to change him. It ain't going to change. I can't change my friend, but I can change me. Did you know that? So I challenge you this morning. Will you draw others to God? Will you draw others to others? And will you help others become who God created them to be? Become who you want to bring. Does that sound okay? Does that make sense? Dwell with God. Enjoy his grace. Appreciate his honesty. He'll show you where you need to work at. But dwell with him. Iron sharpens iron. How's your relationship? Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know that you are a God who lives with us. You're not a God who formed this world and touched our hearts and pushed us off and wished us well. But you're a God who's taken up residency, not just in this world, but in the hearts of those who believe. Thank you, Lord, for dwelling with us and showing us grace and confronting us with the truth. Now help us be the friend, the person that those around us need. Help us draw others to you. Help us draw others close to one another. Help us help those become who you created them to be. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're struggling in a relationship. Maybe there's some battles in your heart. Maybe there's some burdens. I don't know. But you want me to pray for you. Would you shoot your hand up and say, you pray for my relationships. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these who want you to step into the midst of their relationships. They love you. They know you. They seek you, Lord, and they want to draw others close to you. They want to be drawn close to others themselves. And they want to be all you created them to be. Let your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells in their hearts as believers, Lord, encourage them and strengthen them. Give them wisdom, Lord, for they walk with the wise. They seek you. They dwell in you, in your truth, and your grace, and your mercy rules. In Jesus' name, amen.